From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. On him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. We see in Simon's carrying the cross a picture of the work of the church throughout all generations. She is the cross-bearer after Jesus. Mark then, Christian, Jesus does not suffer so as to exclude your suffering. He bears a cross, not that you may escape it, but that you may endure it. Christ exempts you from sin, but not from sorrow. Remember that, and expect to suffer. But let us comfort ourselves with this thought, that in our case, as in Simon's, it is not our cross, but Christ's cross which we carry. When you are molested for your piety, when your religion brings the trial of cruel mockings upon you, then remember it is not your cross, it is Christ's cross, and how delightful it is to carry the cross of our Lord Jesus. You carry the cross after him. You have blessed company. Your path is marked with the footprints of your Lord. The mark of his blood-red shoulder is upon that heavy burden. 'Tis his cross, and he goes before you as a shepherd goes before his sheep. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Do not forget also that you bear this cross in partnership. It is the opinion of some that Simon only carried one end of the cross and not the whole of it. That is very possible. Christ may have carried the heavier part against the transverse beam, and Simon may have borne the lighter end. Certainly it is so with you. You do but carry the light end of the cross. Christ bore the heavier end. And remember, though Simon had to bear the cross for a very little while, it gave him lasting honor. Even so, the cross we carry is only for a little while at most, and then we shall receive the crown, the glory. Surely we should love the cross, and instead of shrinking from it, count it very dear, when it works out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Jesus Christ.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies of the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this message, his focus is on Matthew, also known as Levi. Matthew was a publican, a tax collector in the employ of the Romans. As such, he was hated by his own people, for publicans used their position to extort unreasonable sums of money from their countrymen. As Levi the publican, he was a greedy, miserable man. But one day, Jesus Christ looked upon him with pity and grace. In an instant, Levi was transformed into Matthew, the follower of Christ, who eventually became one of the 12 and authored the gospel which bears his name. Matthew's conversion is a lesson in the power of Christ to save sinners. reminding us that we should never give up on a person, no matter how hardened to the gospel he may seem. Now to continue a message entitled, Matthew, Saved from Greed of Gold by the Gift of God, here is Dr. Cairns.
It's interesting that in Matthew 16, Matthew quotes the Savior again. And I leave Matthew's teaching on the warning with this note. Here's the question. I hope you'll never forget it. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's a question. What profit is there in losing Christ and making $1 million or $1 billion or $1 trillion? What profit is there in losing Christ and accumulating wealth 1 second into hell? Where's the profit? In Luke 16, when the rich man died and was buried, and after the pomp and the splendor and the preaching and the eulogy were all over, he is in hell, and from hell he is crying. Question then is, what is a man profited if he gains the whole world? An impossible condition. But if he could, where's the profit if he loses his soul? Then there's another question. A question without an answer. Listen. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See that rich man in hell? What would he give? What would he give to gain his soul a freedom from hell? What would he give? Anything, every bit of gold he had ever possessed, every bit of property he had ever possessed, he would give up every deal he had ever made. But listen, did we not read, when we leave this world, we can take nothing with us? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen, an unanswerable question. He has nothing to give. Here's a note of warning, therefore. A warning of the love of money. Very quickly, let me say that the story of Matthew sounds a better note as well. A note of warmth, gospel warmth. The Lord Jesus saw him. The Lord Jesus called him. The Lord Jesus saved him. The Lord Jesus changed him. The Pharisees really didn't like that. Religious hypocrites never do. Religion's for good people. Everybody knows that. Well, it is. Religion's for good people. Salvation is for sinners. There's the difference. They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They were condemning him. I wouldn't be surprised to see those words emblazoned in glory around the throne. This man receiveth sinners. Man, when we're sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'll be glad to repeat the text and say, thank God he receives sinners and he eateth with them. Yes, he does. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He says he hasn't come to call the righteous. He's come to call sinners to repentance. Here's the love of Christ for sinners, the warmth of love. When you think of that, it's easy, you know, to talk about it, but you bring it into modern terms. You construct in your mind tonight a picture of the most loathsome, hateful sinner you can imagine. Just get a picture of him in your mind now. He may be a loan shark. He may be a porn king. He may be a vicious murderer. He may be a drug peddler. You get a picture of the foulest, filthiest sinner that your mind can conceive. And put him there right in the middle of a whole bunch of people going to church. And see us all as we get away from him and we bump into our neighbor. We don't want to touch him. But have a look as the Lord Jesus comes. And as the crowd would carry him on, he stops and he looks at that man and he sees him for what he is. He knows him better than we do. But despite that, he has a love that we can never really understand until we understand the wickedness and the foulness and the filthiness of our own heart. Because my friend, in the sight of a holy God, you and I are just as loathsome and filthy and undeserving and ill-deserving and hell-deserving as that picture you constructed in your mind a moment ago. Oh, the warmth of the love of Christ to sinners. Let us never give men up as easily as we're prone to do. Let us not dismiss men so easily that they're so foul that we almost consign them to hell without a thought. The Lord Jesus loved a world of sinners lost, foul, filthy, guilty, wretched sinners. Oh, that we would love them too. And let no man ever say, he couldn't love me. He came to save sinners. We see also the power of Christ to save sinners. He took this sinner and he utterly changed him. And I want you to see in various little ways just how this change was immediately wrought out. A man consumed with a lust for gold. He was the most selfish man. He could screw a family until the life ebbed out of it just to make a few extra dollars for himself. But as soon as he saved, we read that he made Christ a great feast. If you go back to his own account of this in Matthew chapter 9, he doesn't say that. He just says he took him home. That's all. He took him to his own house. He doesn't mention anything about a feast. It's Luke who says it was a feast. And there's the mark of true humility immediately marked in Matthew. Now watch these details. In all the Bible, in all the references to Matthew, there is only one place where he is still called Matthew the publican. And that's in the Gospel of Matthew. Listing himself among the disciples, he still remembers who and what he was when God saved him. Look at the three lists of the disciples in the Gospels in Matthew, Mark and Luke. And you'll find that in that list, in Mark's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, Matthew comes before Thomas every time. In Matthew's Gospel, Thomas comes before Matthew. When he set up that feast, he invited sinners. They're simply called others. But Mark calls them sinners. That feast was very successful. It was like a great evangelistic crusade. Because we read in Mark chapter 2 that these sinners, they followed Christ. Matthew never mentions the success of his first efforts to win the lost for Christ. Do you see the change that takes place in a man? Here's a man who a little while before would never have spent a dime unnecessarily unless it would make another one. And now he's pouring himself, his resources, his everything into the service of Christ. And as he does so, he recedes into the background so that Christ is all. There's the power of Christ. What can take that lust out of a man's heart and make him a humble believer? None but Christ and nothing but grace. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save, old preachers in Northern Ireland used to say, from the guttermost to the uttermost. The power of Christ to save. And I have to note the sovereignty of Christ in choosing sinners. You look at that vast crowd. Scribes were there. Pharisees were there. Doctors of the law were there. Moral upright Jews were there. And there was a wretched, wicked, shameful, hateful sinner. And Jesus chose him to make him a saint and an apostle. You see your calling, brethren, Paul says. Have a look at that and you see your calling. Thank God the choice of God is not based upon any goodness in me. Thank God it's not based on any good I ever did or anything God ever foresaw that I would do. This claptrap that God's election is based on his foresight of what we would do when we heard the gospel is absolutely erroneous. It destroys the gospel. It destroys the very nature of grace. God never chose me because of anything good in me. If he had waited till there was something good in me, he would never have chosen me. If God had waited until he was able to foresee that of my own free will, as they like to call it, my own debauched, depraved, and fallen will, that I would ever, left to my own devices, do anything to move a square inch or a hair's breadth toward Christ, my friend, he would never have chosen me. When I look at Matthew at the seat of custom, I see myself in the pursuit of sin, as rotten and hell-deserving as a man could be. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. By grace we are saved. Oh, the sovereignty of Christ's choice.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.